For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is up, Raider Nation? Your buddy Murph back once again for what we call a Raiders Fan Radio, or RFR as the kids say, rundown, where we just kind of run down some of the biggest stories going on in Raider Nation. And so appreciate you joining us here on the YouTubes. We are not live. We are pre-recorded.
Right.
So this took place in the past. Swag Jeff. But we wanted to get you guys caught up on a couple of things. Number one is that we want to get caught up on a little bit what's going on with free agency, but also Raiders Fan Radio proper this week, Jeff, will be happening on Thursday and not Wednesday. So look for us on Thursday at 6 p.m. Central. That is 7 p.m. on the East Coast. That is 4 p.m. Pacific on the West Coast. And as I mentioned, did I mention your name yet?
Hell no.
Okay.
I've been listening for it too.
Let's go ahead and kick it over to my best friend and yours. He adorns the Eastern Annex of the Murph's Fan Cave desk. He is Swag Jeff.
Hey.
Swag. He is Swag Jeff.
Hey. You're styling and profiling.
What up, Swaggo?
Oh my gosh, just the rundown frenzy. You know, because all the free agents, we got a lot to talk about, and I'm sure there's still more to come. And there might have been stuff that broke since we recorded this, because we're recording it at, you know, early afternoon time. So, you know, so who knows? We might have our next big piece already in the mix, and we don't know about it yet because it hasn't happened yet. But let's talk about what we do know, pal.
What we do know, and speaking of big pieces, though, I got to give you props, man.
Thank you. Damn right.
Pause.
It is what it is.
I'm talking about the new tattoo, the artwork, the art piece
that
is adorning your right bicep there. For those on the audio podcast, Jeff got his new RFR ink. He's got the RFR skull there, and that thing's legit, bro. Looks good.
Yeah, much respect to my girl Alex over at Pure Heart Tattoo here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Yeah, she crushed it, man.
She crushed it, man.
Yep, it's really, really good.
Good looking. Good looking ink
RFR
there, buddy.
For life.
For life. For life.
Oh, nice.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about what's going on here with free agents. So we're just going to, I mean, everybody knows the news, man. So
sure.
I kind of feel weird sometimes doing these shows because I'm like, well, you know, everyone knows what's going on. So it's like, ain't nobody breaking anything new around here.
No.
But I think it is kind of fun when we go over the details.
Yeah.
And to kind of break down what it means for the Raiders and what it means maybe even for some of the players that have departed. So we started off the day yesterday with the big splash.
With the splash.
So we'll just go ahead and start there. So, of course, we're talking about Christian Wilkins comes over from the Miami Dolphins on a 4-year deal for $110 million. That includes $84 million guaranteed. I mean, Telesco freaking swung for the fences on this one.
Yep.
Wilkins' cap hit for that contract, it's going to be $11 million this year for the cap, then balloons to $35 million in 2025, $31 million in 26, and then, 2026. I have 2017 written down here. But anyways, in 2027, it balloons to $31 million. So this is the guy you wanted all along.
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, if anything was made clear to us these past couple of years especially, is that Max Crosby is an all-world player.
Truth.
But he can't do it by himself. He can't even still really do it when he's got a really good complementary on the other side of the line, whether that be Malcolm Kuntz or what maybe Tyree Wilson can become. But we've missed that interior pressure and that interior presence forever. Other than the year with Solomon Thomas and Quentin Jefferson, they did pretty good.
Yep.
They were pretty decent in there. But we haven't had a marquee defensive tackle since Richard Seymour, probably. Sure, totally. You know what I mean? Yeah. Tommy Kelly. Like,
yeah.
It's been that long since we had just a purely dominant interior pressure. And what has Antonio Pierce been saying is that we're playing Mahomes ball now. Well, how do you make all quarterbacks, but including Patrick Mahomes, uncomfortable?
They must go down, and they must go down hard.
Absolutely. So you put big old dominant, you know, DTs falling around his feet.
Yep.
They don't like that.
Yep.
They don't like that at all. And so this is such an amazing move. Like, we all kind of knew that we talked about Chris Jones, we've talked about like a lot of others. It was Justin Matabuki. Like, there was other players that to be considered, but this guy, like, when you look at our defensive line now,
yeah,
let alone if we had like a Danelle Hunter or something like that, or something crazy like that, but like, it's so dominant up front and has the potential to, I mean, this makes your secondary better.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Not only does it, you know, improve on sack totals and things like that to complement a guy like Max Crosby, which is where I was going, is that, and so that's why I think they made this move, but it's going to make our secondary that much better too, Jeff, because they're going to be forcing throws.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. I mean, this was a guy that I earmarked from the beginning of free agency. I saw this guy's name become available and immediately that dude's a Raider, man. He's a fantastic locker room guy. He's funny as hell. And I just totally see him vibing with Antonio Pierce and obviously with Max Crosby and stuff like that. And yeah, I'm curious to see because Christian Wilkins last year had 9 sacks. As a defensive tackle, wow. That's so strong.
That's like, a lot for
when was the
guy.
Last time that a Raider as a defensive tackle had 9 sacks?
Oh my gosh, I'll have to look that up.
I mean, I can't think of one. I can't. Richard
Seymour. I think it was like Tommy Kelly. Okay. Because Tommy, I'm pretty sure, had a double-digit sack season.
Okay.
One time. Yeah.
Okay. But that's been a minute.
It's been a long time.
So I'm fired up about this guy. You know, yes, we did have to shell out all the money. But, you know, I mean, it was also fun as soon as free agency opened up, bang, a splash by the freaking Raiders, you know, and that's just something that, you know, we don't see that often. Yeah, we had the splash.
It's been a long time.
We had the splash with Davante Adams, you know, with the trade and stuff like that a couple years ago and all that. But as far as like a big name, holy cow, top of the board kind of guy, like, I mean, that's a slam dunk, dude.
Yeah.
I think this D line, and like you said, it's gonna shore up all aspects of our defense, and we'll get to, you know, one of the, you know, guys that we unfortunately let go today. That, you know, maybe we can afford to let a guy like that go if the quarterback doesn't have as much time to throw.
Yep, absolutely. Well, let's just go ahead. I want to do this in chronological order.
Yeah, sure.
So okay, so then the next thing to fall yesterday, of course, is the departure of Josh Jacobs.
Sure.
All right. You remember when Derek left and the way he kind of handled himself and we were like, and it kind of took some of the shine off of Derek Carr.
Yep.
And then, you know, that coupled with a lot of people in the fan base and the way that they reacted to it and all that, it almost turned him villainous in a way,
almost a heel turn,
and not a good one that you would root for. Like, so I'm feeling not as much, but I'm feeling that way a little bit about Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs, he signs this deal with the Packers. We're going to get the details of it. It ain't that great. And then immediately does what Josh Jacobs does and goes to social media and puts some cryptic ass bullshit about loyalty and when her team's going to be as loyal back to
it was like a, you know, he made the comment that, you know, he's getting all this hate saying that he was unloyal for choosing another team, but saying that, you know, well, the teams aren't loyal back to us. So, you know, how can you say that? Whatever. But yeah, it just wasn't a good look. He kind of, you know, almost turned on the fan base a little bit. The people that were, you know, once a Raider, always a Raider, all those folks, like, you know, I mean, I don't know. It just wasn't a good look. And, you know, I love me some Josh Jacobs. You know, he's been a stalwart of our
only young player jersey I own.
There you go. There you go. 100%. But, you know, yeah, it just didn't come across very good. And you know, and it really, over the course of the last year and a half.
Yeah.
Hasn't really been that good. But you give a guy the benefit of the doubt, and, you know, they give him the franchise tag last year and stuff like that, plus a little extra bonus similar to what Saquon got in New York. But, you know, but yeah, now I don't know. I've got a funny taste in my mouth after all this went down.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. So here's the deal, man. On the surface, it's a 4-year, because the details finally came out. They didn't come out yesterday.
Right.
But on the surface, it's a 4-year, $48 million contract for Josh Jacobs. Okay, that sounds pretty good, right?
Pretty good.
Like, if that were the case. Except the yeah. contract has a $12 million signing bonus, and that's the only guaranteed payment.
Yep.
So we got $12 million guaranteed, which is basically what his going rate was, and I think probably what the Raiders offered him is something like that.
Yeah.
So his base salary in 2024 of 1.2 is guaranteed, which means that it pushes it all the way to 13.7 total, okay? And then he's got some bonuses in there that if he hits his bonuses, it could be up to 14.8 for 1 year, okay?
Okay.
After that, it's entirely up to the Packers what they want to do with him. He's got a roster bonus of $6 million due in the 2025 league year, a 1.7 base salary, and then those workout bonuses. So for 2026, his base salary goes to 10.2, and then bonuses 27. It's 12.2 with bonuses, so it's basically 13.7 max for 1 year. It could be as much as 14.8 for that year if he hits the excuse me. If 14.8 if he hits the bonuses. Otherwise, it's going to be 13.7.
Okay.
After that, the Packers can move on at any point, and they want to. So if they move on at the second year, there's no roster bonuses. There's no nothing. He gets zilch. So the big decision for him is comes in 2026. Will he be performing at a level that justifies $11 million by the time he gets to that age? And then the next year, the maximum becomes 13.5. So it's like, when you look at the breakdown of the details of it, Jeff, I don't think there's a world where the Raiders wouldn't have been willing to offer 2 years, $24 million with 13 guaranteed, right? Like that easily could have been something in the realm of possibility if they really wanted to keep him. And we think they did. We think that because we know Antonio Pierce loves him.
Yep.
We know that Mark Davis loves him. And so I can't imagine this deal is that much better, if at all, than what he got probably from the Raiders. Does that make sense to you?
It doesn't make sense to me at all.
And then to get shitty with fans on social media, it's like,
yeah, it didn't make a whole lot of sense, man. I think his agent is whack. You know, I think he sold him this idea of like, hey, it's a 4-year deal. And I think
agents love that shit because it makes them look good on paper.
100%. And I think that's really what it boiled down to. The Raiders may not have been offering 4 years where the Packers did. And, you know, and that's great and fine and wonderful. But like, yeah, like you said, there's like no guaranteed money after the first year, which I feel like last year was the big holdup with Josh Jacobs.
He wanted guaranteed money.
I put my body on the line, all this kind of stuff. I need some sort of guarantee. That's why they didn't want to sign.
Good guarantees, and they want length of contract. That's exactly.
I think he might have picked the wrong one. You know, I mean, best of luck to him. You know, I mean, he'll thrive next year. I mean, you know, playing in the cold weather in Green Bay. I mean, he's a tough guy to take down, especially in the cold weather. You know, just see that freaking Seahawks game where he had a million yards. But, you know, okay, bye.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
For a guy that was already going to be likely splitting time with Zamir anyways, yep. I'm like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you. So then the dream became after that, like, oh, my gosh, what if we got Derrick Henry?
Wouldn't that be so cool? Amazing.
That'd be so cool to have Derek and Zamir. You know, I know Derek's 30 years old, but still he's Derek freaking Henry.
Right.
But, man, now he's a Raven, which is going to be a lot for us to deal with when we go to Baltimore this year. That's going to be a lot.
Yep.
So, all right, before we move on from Josh Jacobs, I got a trivia question for you, Jeff.
Okay, go.
So Josh Jacobs was one of the last Oakland Raiders.
Okay.
Okay. So with Josh leaving, there are now 6 players left that were Oakland Raiders. How many of those do you think you could name?
Almost all of them, I think.
Okay, go.
All right. Andre James.
Dude, good one. Yes.
Max Crosby.
Absolutely.
AJ Cole.
Yep.
Daniel Carlson.
Yep.
Okay, so hold on. So I got Andre James, I got Max Crosby, I got Daniel Carlson, I got
AJ Cole.
AJ Cole. Oh shoot. What? I had the fifth one right there.
One of them ain't gonna be around much longer. This list is fixing to be five.
Do what?
Yeah. One of the guys on this list is probably gonna end up somewhere else very quickly.
Well, tell me who the other two are.
Hunter Renfrow.
Oh, sure.
Right. Remember, we saw him toe-tap in the end zone in front of us against Detroit in 2019. And Colton Miller.
Oh, there you go.
And Colton Miller, and that's it. So that's, you got, we're going to have five Oakland Raiders left.
Maybe. Maybe. We just got Hunter Renfrow's best friend.
Who?
Christian Wilkins.
Oh,
Hunter Renfrow was in Christian Wilkins' wedding or vice versa.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Whatever. They both went to Clemson. Yeah. They're best bros, man. They're like you and me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I didn't know that.
So you go and you go, all right, Hunter, here's your choices. We can cut your ass, or we can restructure your deal or give you a pay cut or whatever, but you get to play ball with your buddy.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that, Jeff. That's good insight, dude.
Yeah.
That's why you're good at this.
I'm telling you, man.
That's why you're
best
good at
this. Best in the biz, dude.
You know who else is best friends?
Who's that?
The way I understand it, Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, that would have been nice, too.
That would have been nice, too. Where did Jones go? Did he sign?
Yeah, he signed with the freaking Vikings.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Because
stayed in the division.
A lot of interdivision stuff going on, man.
A lot.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So then we go through Josh Jacobs, but then and then here comes the controversy.
Oh, my God.
Here comes the controversy.
Oh, the people on the Twitters.
Oh, my gosh.
They went bananas.
The Raiders sign cornerback Gardner Minshew to a 2-year, $25
million. Minshew mania.
Oh, my gosh. Includes $15 million guaranteed. So his cap hits look like this. This year, $7 million bucks. Next year, it's 13. Unless we cut him, then it's only $8 million bucks. And then in 2026, it's 3.6 to the cap in dead money because of the voided 3 years. So, listen, Gardner Minshew is 30th amongst quarterbacks in guaranteed money in 2024. That's not starter money.
Like, not at all.
That's high-level backup money. This is not like a melee. It was fascinating to me the way that Twitter reacts sometimes, that people losing their mind about like, oh, never mind. I guess the Raiders are out on the on a quarterback in the draft. No, they're not. Look, this is an absolute genius move, if you ask me. Number one, what's the overriding theme been since Antonio Pierce has taken the reins? It's been culture. Improving the culture of the organization.
Yep.
Gardner Minshew fits right into that locker room.
My gosh.
And somebody on Twitter came at me and were like, oh, he's famous for his RV and his jorts. Yeah, he's going to fit right in. Have you ever seen video, guy on Twitter, of Gardner Minshew in the locker room?
Dancing in, after a win?
Dude, he's a freaking locker room guy.
Yep.
Somebody on Twitter was like, this is the Will Compton of offense.
It's
not a bad comparison.
Yeah.
He's a glue guy. Guys love him. They want to be around him.
Yep.
He's a perfect guy to fit.
And then, by the way, he can ball, too.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
He's had the Raiders numbers for years, so it's good that we got him off the market.
Yeah, who handed the freaking Raiders their last loss in Oakland?
There you go.
Gardner goddamn Minshew.
Yep.
So, but here's what I love about it, Jeff, is that it's smart on a few fronts, okay? We know that we love the kid, love Aiden O'Connell.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not the kind of guy that's going to be able to start week in, week out and deliver us postseason victories and all that. It's just not going to happen. He's just, at least I don't want to say it's not going to happen. I don't want to speak that over him. At this point in his career, he's not that guy. Minshew kind of is. He's got dog in him.
Sure.
He's a guy that you could put the responsibility of starting a handful of games on his back late in the season, and he would be able to perform at a high enough level to keep us in contention for a playoff spot.
100%.
So that's number one. So in terms of the backup, like that fits perfectly. The other side of this is that the Raiders, I think, and many of us still feel, they're going to try to make a move in the draft to move up to get one of the guys, whoever they got their target set on. A lot of us think it's going to be Jaden Daniels. But say they can't or don't. They don't find a trade partner. Whatever happens, they don't, okay?
Yeah.
And now we have to take a Spencer Rattler later in the draft or a JJ or some even Penix. Think Penix or what. Now you've got a guy that can start the season, play 4 or 5 games or more until your young quarterback is up to speed enough to take over. And he's going to be, I'm not going to say he's going to be okay then serving as the backup to that drafted player, but he's, that's not a position he hadn't been in before.
He was just in that position this past year, an exact same situation where, you know, whether, however the team decides to go, Gardner Minshew is going to be ready to jump in there and play. He had to do it this past year with the 5th overall pick. The Colts select Anthony Richardson out of Florida. Week 2, that son of a bitch goes down. Boom. Done. Or whatever week it was.
Early on in the
season. And Gardner Minshew led the Colts to the playoffs. Like, I mean, what more do you want out of a guy like that? And, you know, say what you will. I love me some Aiden O'Connell, too. But, you know, and shout out Mo Moten. Gardner Minshew's got a little, you know,
functional mobility.
You know, he can scramble around and make stuff happen. I'm seeing him do it all last season. So I think that this is an extremely great and serviceable backup quarterback for whatever direction that the Raiders want to go. I mean, either way, he's going to be ready.
Absolutely. And listen, you know, we've also known that whatever young quarterback we draft, or even for Aiden O'Connell's sake, you want to have a good mentor. And he fits that role. Also, too, Jeff, whether we like it or not, and regardless of how you feel about the guy now, and here we just talked about him a minute ago, when Derek Carr left, there's a void in leadership on the offensive side. Devontae is very much a leader. Don't get me wrong, and I'm not downplaying Devontae's impact and presence in the locker room and for this football team, but he's not the quarterback.
Sure.
And there's something about quarterback leadership that is really important to a football team. And so Minshew brings that element.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
100%.
And he'll be an excellent example for Aiden O'Connell and the next guy.
Yes.
In terms of like, because we know this guy's like got crazy work ethic, like all that stuff. Like, you talk about toughness. What did Telesco tell you he wanted in quarterbacks? The first thing that he said, toughness.
Yep.
Availability.
Yep.
That's all 100%. This guy reeks of that. So
100%. Well, and he reminds me a lot of like the Baker Mayfield mold, you know,
100%.
You know what I mean? He's got that juice. He's got that dog. He'll dance around. He'll do his thing. He's vocal. You know, he's not afraid, you know,
little and undersized.
I love it. And I love the back and forth already between him and Max Crosby. They've kind of got this little, friendship now. And,
dude, do you know these guys are going to be having a blast in practice?
Oh my gosh. All they're going to call Minshew all year long is little ass boy.
Oh yeah.
All year long. And I love it. And I think Minshew loves that. I've already seen him tweet something about it or whatever.
Oh, really?
I saw a post about it or whatever and said, you know, little ass boy's coming to Vegas or whatever.
That's so
like
cool,
that's
man.
So cool, man.
Yeah, that's great. I wonder how many jerseys we're going to see with little ass boy on the back.
Yeah.
What does he wear?
10.
10, right?
Yeah. So I've got a Jimmy G jersey that I can throw little ass boy on the back of it, and I'm set.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. So good stuff there. All right. So now with those two, those two signings, and then, of course, the departure, Josh Jacobs, our cap room is now officially at $17.7 million.
Okay.
But we will get more. We're going to get another $2.3 million tomorrow because Jerry Tillery is coming off the books.
Yep.
Another $2.6 million coming off tomorrow for Brandon Faison if he gets officially cut, which I think is going to happen. And then Jimmy G. We get $11.2 back from Jimmy G. So there's going to be another... What is that? $15 million at it. So we're going to be back up over 30 again, man.
Yep.
So I don't think the Raiders are done by any means.
And all they got to do is restructure Devontae and Max. And, you know, you could be sitting well into 40, into the 40s, maybe even 50, you know. So, you know, so who knows? I keep seeing rumors swirling that Hondo has heard some rumor about a potential trade on the defensive side. So I don't know if that's, you know, Snead, you know,
because
Snead just got the franchise tag in Kansas City. So, I mean, that guy might be a guy that's maybe on the table. I think corner might be a spot.
Well, talk about the conversation you and I started to have before we started recording, because we lose, unfortunately, one of our favorites is Amik Robertson.
Yep.
But what is so now with his departure, you were starting to say that Now Hobbs moves back to his
natural slot spot. You got Jack Jones right there, shirt up as cornerback one or 1A if we go and get a guy like that. But yeah, you know, I mean,
Ja'Korian Bennett, at least at this point,
I don't think he's that guy yet. You know, he might be later, but you know, letting Amit go, it could be a calculated thing. Cause I don't think that they would have let Amit go if there were other plans not in store. So
what happens? Jerry Tillery gets cut because we don't need him.
And we let Bilal Nichols walk, all that stuff, because we had bigger plans. So now you let a guy like Amik Robertson walk away, which is a bummer. And we hate it. And it sucks because he's a fan favorite. We love that guy. But, you know, but I think there's a bigger move in play here. I think we could see a lockdown corner get traded for or whatever. You know, I think there's going to be a big move.
Yeah,
coming.
That's interesting, man. Can you imagine, dude? Like that's, and I know we kind of like fantasized about it last show about, you know, putting Snead on one side and then Jack Jones, but then he got the franchise tag and I was like, oh, okay, well maybe not. Well, but Kansas City's not done yet, man. And I think there's a world where they seek compensation for him. Cause look, they need it, you know, look, and you know,
but yeah, cause whatever money they had left from Patrick Mahomes' deal, they just gave it all to Chris Jones.
So they're going to draft capital. And this is, I mean, it's the thing that sucks about the Chiefs, but draft capital is probably more important to them than any other team because they have two premier players, one on offense, one on defense, that are two of the highest paid players at those positions. So they need to have a lot of draft capital.
Sure.
They have to, because they have to draft to keep replacing the players that they let walk. You know what I mean? You got to draft. 100%. You got to draft wide receivers when you let Tyreek Hill go. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so, you know, Travis Kelce ain't getting any younger. You know what I'm saying? Like, so there's things going on that draft picks and draft capital is going to be massively important to that team. I would argue more important than keeping Snead on a franchise tag
for one more year.
For one more year, yeah. Where they could probably pull two high value picks, and then now would they be willing to trade with the Raiders? That's a whole nother story.
Because that's true too.
That's the thing, is that even though we've seen a lot of interdivision activity so far this offseason, are you going to trade one of the best corners in the league
to your rival?
I don't know if I would see that happening. But that said, there could be another big move in there, Jeff.
100%.
I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. So today we haven't signed anybody yet today, but we have lost. I think we mentioned Bilal Nichols. We mentioned Amik, and we also lost Jermaine Illuminor.
Oh, that's right.
And that one, I don't like that. I don't like, because I thought he was another guy that, you know, yeah, is he a, you know, sure up starter on the offensive line? Probably not. But he bounced around wherever he needed to.
Yeah, and I thought that was interesting too. And he's that's a good stopgap guy. Sure. Even if you draft a right tackle, that's a good one. Somebody gets hurt, you bring, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Then you're good to go to bring him right on in. So I'm with you on Illuminor. Plus, he was just a likable guy.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so, yeah. So no, I think we're going to miss him too, but yeah, that's what we got so far, man. So, what do you, you mentioned you think that there could be another move in there for corner. I think there might be still something in the air for another defensive lineman. I feel like there's another move in there to be made, you know, and I don't know if it would be as big of a swing as a Danielle Hunter, who I mentioned earlier, but there might be another move out there for the Raiders to bring in and get some depth in that defensive line.
Yep.
It's like, can you imagine? Like, I mean, it's for real, man. Like, we say it all the time, and it's nothing, no mystery. I mean, if the Raiders want to be relevant, they got to beat the Chiefs. Well, you freaking stack
you load
your defensive
the defense
line
up with people that can get after them.
We're going to have a quarterback on a rookie deal. We're going to have two quarterbacks on rookie deals and an inexpensive backup. So, like, now's the time. I mean, again, we've said this theory a lot. There's a very real world where you get your quarterback when you find you got the guy and you got a 4-year window with a 5th-year option to blow money everywhere else.
Yep.
And listen, it hasn't always won Super Bowls, but it has won a lot of them.
Yeah.
And it also, it just is, there's a competitiveness that immediately arrives.
We got to win now.
I mean, look at all the, even like a team like the Bills, right?
Sure.
Like before Josh Allen got his payday, what were they doing? They were blowing it out on defense. Because once you realize, you're like, okay, this guy we drafted is the guy, then you can just start freaking hammering defense.
Yep.
Who do we see? Well, here's an example too. It's a different scenario because it's not a drafted quarterback. Well, what are the Steelers doing on defense right now?
Oh my gosh, they're loading up.
They're loading up. Why? Because they spent $1 million on Russ.
Yep.
That's it.
100%.
You know, yeah. So
and Kenny Pickett's still on a rookie deal as well and all that stuff. So yeah, so they got all the money to blow on defense, you know, and because their offense is still solid. You know, I mean, it's nothing to write home about, but I mean, it's a solid offense, you know, and then you add Russ.
Especially when Harris is going well, you know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. And you got George Pickens that's balling out as a receiver.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
all
yeah.
that kind of stuff. So yeah.
How do the Steelers always draft wide receivers? Like
Every couple of years.
Every
they get
few
one.
Years, they draft a superstar wide receiver.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Yep, 100%.
But yeah, so I think there's still something in there, Jeff. I still think that there's another going to be a yeah. move. We got $30 million.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Leave it on the shelf?
Yeah, no.
You know what I'm saying?
No, like, no, and I still think F them picks, trade up, get your guy. And I think Antonio Pierce has enough conviction in who he thinks his guy is that he'll do the same stuff that he did with Jack Jones last year. Hey, call me in 2 years. If this doesn't work out, you're going to let both of us go. You know, I think he has that much conviction, you know, for a guy like Jaden Daniels, or if it's not Jaden, whoever it is, but trade up, go get your guy and all that stuff. And then you, like you said, use that money, build defense, and then whatever remaining picks we have in the draft, offensive line.
That's it.
Done.
And
let's make a run. Let's go make a run. You know, let's
our
go.
Defense
let's
is, go. Our defense would be good enough to with any decent offensive output.
Yep.
You know, like, I think of it like this. Say it's Gardner Minshew. Like, I know we're talking hypotheticals, and we typically don't talk in hypotheticals. We talk about the Raiders that are, not the Raiders that aren't. But in a different world, in a different multiverse, Antonio Pierce is your head coach week one. Gardner Minshew is your starting quarterback. Are the Raiders a playoff team? Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Certainly a hell of a lot more competitive in the division. Probably aren't losing to shit teams like the Bears.
Yeah, we're completing passes in the second quarter and on Christmas Day in Kansas City. I'll tell you that.
Come on, dude.
You know, so yeah, I mean, say what you will about Gardner Minshew.
If that shit show we saw last year could salvage itself into an 8-win team,
right?
You're telling me that Antonio Pierce and Gardner Minshew couldn't take the existing squad,
right,
and turn that into a 10-win team?
Yeah, yeah. You look at those close ass games from last year. You know, the one that sticks out in my head is Minnesota, 3-0 loss coming out of a bye. You know what I mean? Like,
that's,
you know,
so
it's those swing games, even the game that Gardner Minshew played on the other side, the Colts game that, like, ugh, last second, man, like we had that game, should have won that game. And, you know, last minute they, you know, caught and they missed the field goal and then had offsides called on Jack Jones or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
there's a couple game swing there. And if you have Gardner Minshew under center instead of Aiden O'Connell, we win those games.
Absolutely. There's three games right there.
Yep.
If we look at the Colts game, we look at the Bears game, and we look at the Minnesota right there. There's three wins.
Dude,
that's an 11-win football team.
Like, come on.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this, we're there.
Yeah.
We're absolutely there. Yeah. Shout out Sterling Holmes on Radio 810 in Kansas City. Had me on again this past week, man. He's a good dude. He's one of our brothers here at Fansided.
Sure.
Him and Adam and Patrick over there at the Arrowhead Attic podcast, which is the biggest podcast in the Fansided football shows, whatever.
Sure.
Those guys for sure. So come on, Raider Nation. Let's step it up and knock these guys off. But shout out Sterling, but he was like, and we bust each other's balls and stuff. Like, he's real friendly
as we should.
And he was busting my chops. Cause he was like, what are your expectations for the Raiders just this year? And I'm like, well, playoffs. I'm like, all we got to do is just get this quarterback thing figured up. We got to shore up a couple spots on the defensive line, you know, spot at corner, a little bit on offensive line. And he was like, oh yeah, that sounds like a team that's real close. You know what I mean? I'm paraphrasing, but that was basically his sentiment. And it's funny. Cause when you say it out loud, it sounds like there's a whole bunch of like, oh shit, we got all these glaring needs, but they're not that glaring.
No. Like there are needs that we need to shore up, but we can make do with really with what we got. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we were.
And be super competitive with it.
Yeah, 100%.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. I forgot I was going to say go.
Oh, but anyways, I appreciate Sterling having me on over there. And I've got his, do you have that bottle of whiskey? I got to send that to him.
We'll get it on Thursday.
We'll get it on Thursday. Okay. Anyway, so appreciate Sterling. And yeah, I guess that's all I got. Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't know.
We just talked about the Raiders nonstop.
I know, right? Yeah, that was fun.
There you go, chat room.
Yeah, there you go, chat room. Yeah. I'll get you some of that.
Hey, don't forget, Raider Nation, that we will not be back live this Wednesday. We're going to let this free agency thing play out. The signings will happen on Wednesday.
Yes.
So, because right now it's the what do they call it? It's not legal tampering, no. But it's, what's it called?
Something, negotiation.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So all the agents can leak all the information to make themselves look good, but none of this stuff is finalized until we get to Wednesday. So Thursday's show will be live. We'll be back here in the fan cave with Michelle. And should be a lot of fun. My son Tristan's home from the Navy, which will be cool. So he'll probably jump in and say hi to you guys. And but yeah, that will be Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. Definitely hit us up here, youtube.com/RaidersFanRadio. All right, Swaggo. Man, this is fun. This has been the most fun launch of free agency in a hot minute.
Yeah, yeah. And we lost a bunch of people. It was heartbreaking, but it's still so much fun because I think that there's more to come and better to come for the Raiders before this is all said and done, when the dust settles, all that stuff. We're going to have a bunch more money to play with this time tomorrow. So let's get after it. Let's get into the, you know, latter parts of the first wave of free agency. Let's get a bunch more guys. Let's build this thing up. Let's go on a freaking run, man. Why not go for our fourth Lombardi?
Right?
Feels like a good time to do that.
Feels like a good time to do that.
Absolutely, yeah, man. Absolutely. And it's been a good time with all you folks here today. Thank you very much for tuning in for the Raiders Fan Radio Rundown, where we take a lighter side journey into the dark side. And don't forget, boys and girls, what happens in Vegas started in Oakland. We love you. We'll see you. See you Thursday.
Get out, YouTube.
Goodbye.
Oh, Thursday show's going to be a blast.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait.
Dance amongst yourselves.
Oh, I turned it off. Oh. Am I still dancing?
Oh, well.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.